You know, Kevin Barker, when Gerrit Cole gets his Cy Young Award, I mean, you think he might want to give the Jays a shout-out? I mean, he's basically owned them this year. Now, I'm not saying that he wouldn't win the Cy Young Award without games against the Blue Jays, but, I mean, my goodness, he's certainly used games against the Blue Jays this season to bolster his statistical his statistics towards a Cy Young Award. I mean, he was dominant again tonight. There was nothing going on for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy too, right? It was, you know, the key to pitching, at least elite guys are, throw strike one. It was 22 of 29. Throw a bunch of strikes. It was 105 pitches, 72 strikes. Like, it was, you know, he's in a rocking chair. It's glove side. It's fastball. He wants to go up with two strikes. He goes up with two strikes. He wants to throw a breaking ball way to a lefty to either get a easy out or get ahead of a lefty. That's what he does, right? It's, you can work both sides of the plate. You can be a little unpredictable. It's sequencing, and it's taking the sting out of the bat, and that's exactly what he did. It's, if you had any doubt if he's going to win the Cy Young, I think that's erased.
28 and two-thirds innings against the Blue Jays this year. He's allowed one earned run.
Ouch.
So the Jays, after tonight's 6-0 loss, have now lost the first two games of this three-game series against the New York Yankees. They're holding the wild card spot, becoming more and more precarious. Again, as has been the case, and I imagine as will be the case for the rest of the season, we'll keep an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard. Hopefully, I guess if you're a Jays fan, hopefully you'll get some help from on the out-of-town scoreboard. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, the numbers to call. 6-0, the Blue Jays have lost to the New York Yankees. Jose Berríos was okay, not great. Aaron Judge had a couple of home runs. Which is kind of what Aaron Judge generally does, Kevin, mm-hmm. when he's at the Rogers Center. The second home run off of Trevor Richards. Trevor Richards threw him four change-ups in a row. It's his best pitch.
Yeah, it is.
And it doesn't get hit that often. Or do you have any issue with the way he approached it?
I mean, would you like to see him throw four in? Probably not. I mean, the closer that changeup is to you, the more and the better chance you have of timing that up mechanically. I mean, you could argue Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball. I mean, he's the best hitter walking. When he's healthy enough to be able to get it in the zone quick enough, use the leverage that he has. I mean, he took a two-seamer line drive over the right field fence. He pulled a changeup. I mean, that's hitting 101, right? Take the fastball the other way, pull the off-speed pitches. Like, I mean, it's just, it looks simple. And we talk about this a lot with the phone booth, right? Everything's happening inside the phone booth. And it's rare that you see him take a weird off-balance swing. And when you are as comfortable as he is at the plate, I tried to walk him. When, you know, you try to walk him, it puts a lot of pressure on the pitcher, the guy standing on the mound, to make the perfect pitch to the guy that's behind him. I mean, he creates havoc. Like, it's just when he's walking, when he's standing on the on-deck circle, everybody's thinking about what they're supposed to be doing. Like, what do I do, coach? Where do I go? How do I stand? Like, where do I throw this? And when you do that, you think too much. You throw four pitches, and you leave one over the middle of the plate, and he hammers the thing. That's what the best hitter in baseball does.
What were you doing on September 27th, 2016, Kevin Barker?
I'm sure I was with you somewhere.
I don't know about that. Has it been that long?
It's been a long time.
September 27th, 2016. 2016 was the last year the Yankees did not make the playoffs. September 27th, 2016, in a game against the Jays, there were two dugout clearing incidents, and one of them, Joaquin Benoit, who'd been really good for the Blue Jays after being acquired on a trade. He had an ERA of 0.38 in 23 and two-thirds innings. He was 2-0 at one save. He was a valuable part of the bullpen. He tore his calf running out of the bullpen in that dugout clearing incident. Devin Travis injured his shoulder in one of the altercations as well. Of course, Joaquin Benoit would have been nice to have him in 2016. But it remains to be seen whether or not this loss tonight to the Toronto Blue Jays has as much of a or this loss tonight to the Yankees weighs as much in the Toronto Blue Jays postseason aspirations as that particular one did. I can't say we're surprised with what we saw tonight.
No.
From Gerrit Cole, you talked about it, glove side.
Everything.
Glove side, everything.
That's what it is.
Everything
right?
was great.
Yeah, it's cutter away, it's fastball away, it's an occasional fastball up. Right, when he's toying with you, he can sprinkle in some breaking balls early in counts. He can throw the changeup basically when he wants to. But it's the command glove side. When it's elite like it was tonight and all year, I mean, he's not giving up any home runs. He's throwing strike one a lot, like over 67%. That's a lot. League average is around 60%. Like, that's a lot of strike ones. And when you're getting ahead that way against some elite hitters, it gives you a better chance to be more efficient and go 105 pitches through nine innings. And the worrisome part of this is how big the separation is between the Jays lineup and good pitching. You notice that?
Yeah.
Like, it's not hard. Well, and sometimes is, for good pitchers,
you're not
to work
see,
through the Jays lineup, and for me, that's a little worse.
Yeah, I mean, look, did Gerrit Cole look like he was working tonight?
No.
Did he have to throw hard? I don't think so. I mean, it didn't look to me. It looked to me like he was barely breaking a sweat out there, you know. And you know, you got Luke Weaver tomorrow night. Newsflash: you're going to get more Gerrit Coles and Luke Weaver in the playoffs if you make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get more guys like Gerrit Cole. You're going to get everybody's best in that particular situation. And this is presuming the Jays do end up going to the playoffs, which I think they probably still will.
Mm-hmm.
But presuming they do, the memory of this of the way Gerrit Cole went at them, understanding Gerrit Cole is really good, but the memory of the way Gerrit Cole went at them is really going to linger. I mean, they were, I wouldn't even say they were overmatched, Kevin. They were never in the game.
Yeah,
they just were never in the game.
I mean, he gave him pitches to hit. Look, I'm not standing in the box, and the people that I've talked to that have faced Gerrit in the last couple of years say, for whatever reason, the fastball plays up. I mean, I know he throws 99 miles an hour, but it has good spin to it, and it looks like it's riding through the strike zone, and that's what the elite guys do. And, you know, we saw some pitches that were missed, some changeups he left a little thigh high. We saw one to Blatty, and, you know, we saw, I think, one to Kiermaier earlier. That was the fastball down the middle. Like, we saw some balls that you would think, man, they should be hammering those, and they're not, and that's why I said the separation between good pitching and the lineup, it's the pitching for the Blue Jays is going to take them as far as they're going to go in the playoffs. It's for me anyway, it's that simple.
Luke in Oshawa, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, gents, how's it going?
Going well. I mean, all things considered.
Yeah, all things considered. I want to preface this by saying that I'm confident the Jays will make the playoffs, and I'm confident
Attaboy.
That we're going to go on a run here.
Oh,
but
I don't
what
know
I need
that.
An answer on is how can we explain the approach to Judge tonight? Like, who decided to pitch to him? He's the best hitter in baseball right now. The rest of their lineup's terrible. Is that the Khakis decision? Is that on Schneider? Or is that just the pitchers not listening when they're going through the meetings in the morning? I'd like you to shed some light on that, please.
Gabo?
Well, I mean, the first inning, his first at bat, he punched out, right? That's a good one. You get the first guy out in front of him. You attack him the way you're supposed to attack him. What was it? His second at bat was in the
DJ LeMahieu walked in the fourth.
Yeah, the four pitch walk, right? That's what you're trying to do. You try and control traffic around him. So if you want to go after him, it makes it a little easier that, right, you're trying to make the perfect pitch. If you don't, you can walk him. It's a runner on first base with one out. You don't do that. You have to sort of attack him, and that's when you leave a two-seamer middle of the way thigh high, and he line drives a homer into right field. Look, it was a decent pitch. That's, you know, his first home run was a decent pitch. The Trevor Richards at bat, that's his best pitch, right? Do I like four changeups in a row middle in to the best hitter on earth? Probably not. But, you know, again, this is you got game plans going in. You know, we've seen that the last time they played the Yankees, John Schneider's not going to let him beat them. But there's only so many times because of the way the pitching's been that you're basically telling them dudes, hey, basically we think you can't get him out. I mean, that's a tough take, right? So I think there's a fine line there you got to play, and you got to make good pitches. And when you don't, look, the sinker middle of the way, it's a good pitch. That's just a dude having a good approach, thinking, right, he's not going to throw me in early in a count. He might throw me away. I'm going to look for something on the plate for a strike, get it up. If I got a nice pass, take my A swing. I don't have to pull the ball to have success. And this, for me, is more about the hitter than it is the pitching. Like, he does this to a ton of pitchers. Like,
yeah, if you're interested, by the way, because we've talked about offense in this ballpark, Aaron Judge certainly doesn't seem to have an issue with the Rogers Center. New dimensions, old dimensions. He's homered 7 times in his last 6 games at the Rogers Center. He's got a 2.062 OPS. In 106 games against Toronto, he's got 34 homers. He's got 70 RBIs. That's the second most against a single team. Of course, the Baltimore Orioles, 39-85. He owns the Orioles as well. But, Aaron Judge, he's awfully good, and he's really, really, really awfully good against the Blue
Jays. Yeah, and I didn't answer the question. It's John Schneider that will tell them one way or the other either to walk him. I mean, he's not going to say pitch to him.
No, I think
he'll say hold up the 4 fingers.
Well, the caller was also asking about the game planning, like when you go over who's involved.
Yeah, his first homer, that's a good pitch. His second homer, the pitcher on the mound got beat with his best pitch. Do you like 4 in a row? Probably not, but it's his best pitch.
Yep.
I mean, it's just an elite offensive player. That's the top end. You ain't going to see no better. So sometimes you got to tip your hat to that guy.
Daryl and Whitby, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing okay.
At what point, like, I'm tired of this. All the Blue Jays are facing good pitching, and they're making excuses for it. I mean, come on. Like, you got good hitters there, too. Like, pick your poison. I mean, you're going into the playoffs. You're not going to be playing against rookie ball pitching, so they're going to have to get their act together soon, or they're going
easy. It's possible they're not that good. Do you ever think that their hitters aren't as good as Gerrit Cole?
Well, I mean, no, but still, I mean, yeah, Gerrit Cole, but I mean, you got guys in the big leagues. Like, you got to be able to hit that kind of pitch, right?
Man,
they did it before.
Well,
they haven't actually hit him very hard this year.
They were crushing. Like,
Gerrit Cole is better than the Blue Jays lineup right now. I mean, we know that the Blue Jays lineup's not very good. That's been the issue all year.
The other thing all year too that I wanted to get into is, I mean, you got good hitters on the Blue Jays, and they've seemed to be off all year, inconsistent. Like, at what point does the hitting coach come into play here? I mean,
well, we've talked.
Something's got to change.
3 months ago.
Yeah, Daryl, we've talked about the hitting coach.
It's a great question.
We've talked about a hitting coach on this show and on Blair and Barker all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have. We've talked about the hitting coach, the hitting philosophy, the hitting strategy. I mean, thanks for the call, whatever you want to call it. They're not changing it now. I'm pretty certain about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been told all along to trust the process, and that,
well, we have that
eventually all that good work will be the results of that, the fruits of that good work of adhering to the process will be that this team looks like a decent offensive team. I haven't seen it so far, and it's September 27th. And Daryl's absolutely right. You're going to see more Gerrit Coles if you do go to the playoffs.
Well, not Gerrit Coles.
Okay, pardon me. Tyler Glass. You're seeing everybody's best.
There you go.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you, I've seen enough of this team. I'm glad they're opening on the road if they do make the playoffs.
Oh, no question.
I'd almost rather punt home games and play all my playoff games on the road. These guys can't hit in this ballpark. For whatever the reason, pretend to know what that is.
It's a challenge. Look, they have obvious holes. I mean, I guess the one guy who doesn't is Bo, because of the inside out swing and the quick bat that he has. I mean, his holes are smaller than other guys, but there's obvious. You could go 1 through 9, other than the 2-hole hitter, 1 through 9, or 1 through 8, they have obvious holes. And you could say their name out loud and name what the hole is. And if we know it, I'm sure a decent pitcher, doesn't that be a great pitcher, right? And the fastball up, let's be honest, has been a kryptonite for the entire lineup almost, other than Bo and maybe Vladdy. Vladdy likes the ball up too because he's got the flat swing. But for the most part, the guys that matter don't like the ball up, and that's an issue. And for whatever reason, they just hadn't been able to correct that.
I had a coach, a visiting coach, not a manager, visiting coach last year tell me before the playoffs that the Blue Jays lineup was the easiest lineup to game plan for that they found all year. Easiest lineup. Spent less time talking about it than any other lineup. And I've got to think that this year's lineup, they're probably not wasting a great deal of time talking about it either, because this year's lineup isn't as good as last year's lineup. Gil in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Kevin, Jeff, a pleasure. First time, long time. You guys do great work.
Thank you. Welcome.
Every show. And every repetitive call about the hitting coaches and Schneider's poor managerial calls, et cetera. I just want to comment on something broader and hopefully more optimistic. I was never a sports fan growing up. I was a dork. I was a reader. I participated too much in middle school theater. But I really feel like I gravitated toward baseball around the 2015 season, obviously a famous season, because of the narrative of that year. And then I got hooked for life because of the inherent narrative that you can project onto a team, and it's a long grind season. Now you perceive 162 games, who your heroes and your losers are. It's like a never ending soap opera with a new story arc every year, new characters, some returning cast members, et cetera. The narrative of this team this year is that they're flat, they're lost, they can't hit, and yet they're in it. And the Yankees are not. And they march forward, and they're still in it with 5 games left in the season. The Yankees are totally out, and they're going to get the Cy Young, and they deserve it. Cole deserves it. But the Blue Jays are going to, in my opinion, going to make the playoffs, not the Yankees. And the last 2 games are part of the narrative the whole season, that they suddenly stop hitting, and they can't see the ball. But getting shut out twice just for some reason feels optimistic to me for the next few games, where I think they're just going to I think they might win the last 4 games of the season. And I know that's optimistic again, but I really feel like they're going to make the playoffs. I like these kind of back and forth. Go Jays, go Jays, go Jays. Thanks so much, guys. Love listening
Thanks,
to you.
Gil.
That's awesome.
Thank
Gil.
You.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've talked about this, and Gil is right. At some point this year, we started hearing from guys like Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassett, and you know, I think even Brandon Belt and other guys. At some point this year, I think, we realized that it was pointless. Waiting for the offense to quote unquote get it going was pointless because there was nothing to get going. This team is the way it is offensively. This is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's September 27th. They've played 154 games, 158 games. This is what it is. This team's been what it's been for months. So this team, if it advances and wins in the playoffs, is going to be a team that's going to do it because its pitching's been great. It plays good defense. It plays really good defense. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be one offensive hero every night. That's essentially – that will be the narrative of this team if they go on a playoff run. Gil's right. If you want to kind of step out the whole sports thing. First of all, Gil, if you started watching Blue Jays baseball in 2015 and 2016, there's a bunch of stuff that happened before 2015. Some of it good.
Don't ruin it.
I'm just saying that there is, as a sports fan and as, you know, someone who likes reading, there is the whole narrative thing. Then if this team goes on a run in the playoffs, it's going to be a great story. It'll be a great narrative. It's just not going to be the narrative that we thought we were going to be writing this year when everybody was picking the Jays to win the American League.
Maybe it's one of those things where they're trying so hard to get into the playoffs. Once they're in, it's free and easy.
You know,
maybe that's it. Fingers crossed. I mean, I'm sure that's what the coaching staff and the organization's hoping for. That
maybe this is part of the process.
So
maybe the process doesn't manifest itself until October.
Every once in a while.
It's possible they don't want to peak. You know, it's possible they don't want to peak too early.
Yeah, yeah. Well said.
You're not looking at me like you actually believe what I just said.
No.
Sam in Hamilton before the break. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. First of all, I mean, obviously the last two losses really have been kind of bad since it's kind of been must-win baseball for the Blue Jays. I mean, you obviously want to clinch before the Tampa Bay series because a lot of shenanigans can happen when you're just wanting to win one game. I mean, you guys know that.
Yeah.
And so, but I don't think this team's going to make the playoffs. I don't have faith in this lineup, especially at home. And I just the whole season has kind of been leading up to this. Kind of, obviously, I wasn't born in 87, but I kind of do get 87 feel to this team, how this team has gone up and down, up and down, up and down. And now I feel like this is going to be the crescendo. One more middle finger to our fan, to us fans, and they're not going to hit their way to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about, you see, I don't know about the middle finger. Big payroll. You know, you've got some star players. You know, management's gone out and brought in guys, multi-year free agent contracts. Again, it's not like these guys, it's not like these guys aren't trying. It's just entirely possible that this lineup's not that good. And this lineup has flaws. And I've said this, and I will, you know, I will say this, I will maintain this. This is the lineup. There was something on the table in the offseason, whether it was a signing or a trade, that fell through.
Boy, I hope you're right.
Because I so do I.
I hope you're right.
And I'm reasonably confident in saying that because I really don't think anybody went into the season saying, you know what would be a good idea? Let's have Brandon Belt hitting cleanup on September 27th for us. And I'm not just laying it in Brandon Belt, but I'm saying we talked all year. Mm-hmm. This lineup, there's not much going on.
There's some guys that are underperforming. I mean, Kirk, Chapman.
Correct. And you can't as a general manager, like Ross Atkins can't do anything he couldn't do anything last winter about Matt Chapman or Vladdy Jr. Underperforming this year. You can't guard against that. You can't go out in the offseason and say, you know what? I'm worried that Vladdy's not going to be good. I'm worried that Matt Chapman's not going to be good. So I got to add guys that are going to give me some cover there. You just can't do it. You, as a general manager, you can't account for the fact that core players have a bad year.
What about the trade deadline when you don't do a ton and your lineup is what it is? It's been that way all year. To think that Chapman's going to have 40 RBIs in the second half, and
listen,
Vladdy's going to be an MVP candidate, and Kirk's going to,
well,
whatever you think Kirk's going to be, turn it around. That's what we heard, right? Process.
That was trust
on
in
our
the process.
Yeah,
all
I
the
mean,
underlying number, all, everything said, if they just keep doing what they're doing, it's going to turn around. And who knows? Maybe it will. Maybe they make the play. It could be that the process, as I said, doesn't manifest itself until October 1st. I mean, maybe that's part of the plan. You know, this could be rope-a-dope, right? Could be rope-a-dope. Hanging against the ropes, take the body blow, let everybody else, you know, punch themselves out.
Hmm.
Yeah, probably not. 6-0, the Yankees have beaten the Blue Jays. They've taken the first two games of this three-game series. Congratulations to Gerrit Cole, your 2023 Cy Young Award winner.
Not even close.
Just give it to him now. Again, one earned run allowed this year against the Blue Jays. Was that a wild pitch? I should take a look at the box score from that game. But Gerrit Cole was awfully good. More of the same from the Blue Jays offense. Good news is they get to do it tomorrow. The good news is we're going to stick around. We're going to take a break, come back, get the more of your calls. Again, the number is 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's going to be tough, right? Whenever you're playing at this time of year or into the postseason, you know, you're facing really good pitching. So, you know, there's ways to take advantage of that, whether it be get on base and use the running game like we did in Tampa, or, you know, string some hits together or try to do some damage. You know, I think that, you know, there were some good at-bats strung together throughout the game. And, you know, a couple balls that were just missed, a couple deep counts, and just didn't really hit the pitch that we should. But I think going forward, it's just, you know, you have to continue to, for one, trust the guys that are here and understand that they are a really good team. And, you know, you have to really take advantage of mistakes is the biggest thing. So there's nights that you do it and there's nights that you don't. And the last two nights are, you know, the latter.
It's John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. 6-0 loss to the New York Yankees tonight. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. I've got some good news.
Let's hear it. Seattle's losing.
No, they're not.
Oh.
They're winning 1-0 over Uh-oh. Houston. The Jays will not see Tyler Glasnow. which is probably not much of a news flash since he pitched tonight. But Aaron Civale will make the start Friday for the Rays in Toronto. So there you go. I just you know, thank heavens for small mercies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the next time the J.C. Tyler Glasnow could be in the playoffs. Time for the Major League Standings Watch, presented by Bet365. Download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19-plus play responsibly, Ontario only. The Baltimore Orioles are moving ever closer to the American League East title. They beat the Washington Nationals tonight 4-1. And don't look now, but 5-1. Don't look now, but Grayson Rodriguez has been awfully good down the stretch for the Baltimore Orioles. The Tampa Bay Rays, the Rays won tonight, and that picked up their 97th victory. That ties the 2008 AL Championship squad Rays. So the standings are as follows. The wild card standings are as follows. The Texas Rangers currently playing, but the standings are Tampa Bay at 97-62. Toronto's 87-71. Houston 86-72. They are playing Seattle. They are playing Seattle right now. Seattle's 85-72, and the Texas Rangers are playing the Los Angeles Angels. So Texas leading the AL West. And as we said, basically, if Toronto makes the playoffs, one of Houston, Seattle, or Texas will have to fall out in order for that to happen. And I don't know who to. I mean, I don't know who to cheer for right now. I guess Seattle's half a game back. Would you rather have Seattle ahead of Houston, or would you rather have Houston win and Seattle stay half a game behind? I mean, I don't know. 6-1, half dozen of the other, I guess, for the Blue Jays. The most important thing is beat Luke Weaver tomorrow. Then
win four in a row. You don't have to worry about it.
Win four in a row. You don't have to worry about it. That's right. And four in a row would give you, 91 wins.
How about that?
Isn't that something? It's amazing how 91, that magic number. Number that always gets talked about. Ron in London, Ontario. You're on Blue Jays.
Hey, guys. Talk. Hey, guys. Nice talking to you.
Good talking to you.
My question, I want to be a little bit more positive. I get it. We've had a couple of rough nights. There's no doubt about it. But when you think back to when the guys came up from Buffalo and they hit so well, correct?
They did hit well.
Everybody was happy with Schneider, everybody, Horwitz, Clemente.
Yeah, until Schneider went 0 for 26, he was really good.
Yeah. But you know what? He's still hitting the ball hard. But that's beside the point. My question is, why are we not bringing up that hitting coach? Why are we not bringing up someone else for a different outlook for Springer, for Vladdy? Barker said last night, if your 1, 2, 3, and 4 guys don't hit, you're not going to win, and you're sure as heck not going to go anywhere in the playoffs.
So you would bring a guy that these guys haven't worked with up on September 27th and say, make him better?
Absolutely. If it were, look at
that's
the guy
insane.
That's been working. But hang on. But look at the guy that's been working with him.
That's
this
ludicrous.
This offense has been anemic since early summer.
Yes, they are. We've talked.
205,
we've talked about it. We know the numbers. We've talked about it. We've talked about the hitting coach. Yeah, we talked about the hitting coach. You're not bringing up a guy, your AAA hitting coach, on September 27th. And, I mean, this, as much as we talk about the hitting coaches, understand that Guillermo Martinez and Dave Hudgens don't go in a room together and say, okay, let's come up with something. I mean, this is all a result of stats they're given, of advice they're given. It's a group effort. And regardless of that, Matt Hague may be a genius. I mean, Chad Matola was in the Jays organization. They let him go. He's now the hitting coach in Tampa, and everybody's crediting him with turning that team around. I don't know. Maybe Matt Hague's here next year. But the point is, Matt Hague isn't going to come up here. It's not like an offensive coordinator in football. He's not going to come up here and suddenly go to a different attack. I mean, he's just not.
No. And I agree with that. That's not my point. My point is, when you look at Bichette, when you look at Springer, when you look at Vladdy, when you look at, Varsho is just a write-off to me, but maybe there's just a tweak that somebody is missing. Maybe it's just something so simple.
Why don't you bring Dante Bichette back?
Well,
I'm sure, no, I'm, I'm saying, like, I'll tell you what, I guarantee you they'd listen to Dante Bichette before they'd listen to Matt Haig.
I agree, but they just need something to jumpstart this offense, and I don't see how that can be wrong.
No, Ron, listen, I appreciate the call. It's not football. You're not jumpstarting the offense by changing the wide receiver and putting a different quarterback in and putting a new play package. It's not. Kevin, you want to answer?
Well, as every individual has their own issue, right? It's to ask a guy to come up with, four games left and think that he's going to say it in a different way than all 9 or 15 other people that have been around this team and this lineup trying to figure out what the issues are. And
I mean, if you want
to simplify it, it's a hard thing.
If you want to bring Eddie and Victor Martinez in here for this weekend series and for the playoffs, I'd be down with that. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's even too late for that, right? Again, I think the lineup and these guys are what they are.
It's all process driven.
Trust
the process.
You got to know who you are. You got to know what you're trying to do when you walk to the plate. You got to be ready to hit. And I think if you're not those three things consistently, it sort of looks like the Jays order. And I'm just not sure right now would be the right time to bring in a different voice. Somebody else spewing it a different way. I mean, them guys are going to roll their eyes. I mean, no offense to whoever they would bring in here. It's just, it's been a long season.
You've been in
guys.
A major league clubhouse. September 27th, you're in a playoff spot. New hitting coach. There's a little bit of panic there.
It'd be a tough sell. The panic thing is.
Well, it would certainly seem like panic to me.
These are grown men. Like, if you. I mean, it's just not the right thing to do.
Let's go to Artie in Toronto.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. I mean, all things considered.
Oh, we're good.
We're good. They're in the playoffs. Damn it. They're in the playoffs. Why doesn't it seem like it? I had someone ask me today, why does it seem like the Jays are in last place? Why does it seem like they're where the Yankees are or where the Red Sox are? And I said, blame it on Barker. Go ahead.
Like, in all honesty, when you look at this team from its inception, and I'm going to say inception was 2020, we took hitting for granted. We really did. I mean, this organization, they had a team staffed, 9 players in 2021. And we hit the world, like, we were it because they were young. The core was fundamentally, you didn't think they were flawed at all. The sky's the limit. I mean, the jump.
Playing in minor league ballparks.
There was no stress. The guys were fluid. They loved playing for each other. The jacket was there, I believe, in 2021, 2022.
I can't remember.
I love the jacket.
I miss the jacket. I think they should. You know what? Never mind Matt Haig. Bring the damn jacket back this weekend.
It's not happening.
The jacket! But, so we took it for granted, and then we started taking away from our team, and now they're just ended up, like, chasing their own tails, the management, because what they're doing is our pitching, especially our bullpen, cost us playoff appearances. And pretty much cost us the win last year. So, we can easily pick on management as far as, Schneider and obviously Montoya. They're not the cream of the crop. Like, they're just not. And we've seen that again and again and again. But at least in Atkins, from Atkins' perspective, if you're a fan and you're looking at Atkins, he had it he had the hitting team on his palm of his hands. He got the pitching by paying money for it. It's the bullpen that got him trading Teoscar Hernandez away, got him, getting Varsho and then getting rid of Lourdes Gurriel. Instead of just giving away prospects to get these guys, we ended up taking away from our major league roster.
That is the difference. Those two guys, right?
Because it also has a domino effect, right? If they're hitting, the rest of the team clicks. And also in Atkins' defense, did he think that Alek Manoah and Matt Chapman will forget how to walk? Like, there is no way that you cannot foresee that. So, I mean, it was so close, and we just, instead of doing the Kawhi Leonard move, we went the opposite way. And it's just mind-boggling.
Thanks for the call, Artie. You know, I mean, you made a bunch of good points. I've often wondered, what if 2021 was as good as it gets? What if that was the year?
Could it get better?
What if that was the year for this team when they had Semien? And what if that was the year for this team? I don't know. I mean, I've just, I've, you know, was there something that could have been done at the trade deadline that year to get them over the top. Man, I'm not going to look all the way back at 2021.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're in a playoff spot.
That's double hindsight.
With four games left.
That's double hindsight. But listen, to the caller's point, we've gone over the Gurriel Jr. deal and the Teoscar Hernandez deal. The Teoscar Hernandez deal was, a matter of a couple of things. One, he wasn't going to re-sign here. That was obvious. Talks never got any traction. Two, I can tell you, I've been told that, they talked to other teams. There just wasn't a lineup for Teoscar's services. I think the Jays aren't the only ones that are surprised that Teoscar's having the year he had in Seattle. Now, the Gurriel Jr. and the Moreno deal, again, Gabriel Moreno, he wasn't going to be here this year unless Danny Jansen got hurt. Obviously, with Danny Jansen getting hurt, he would have been here now. If he had stayed in the Blue Jays organization, I can guarantee you he would have been playing some infield as well as catching. So we'll leave that aside. And, I think the Jays' plan was to improve run prevention. And the way to do that was to get better defense in your outfield. They wanted to move George Springer to right. They wanted to bring in somebody who was a superior defensive center fielder in Kevin Kiermaier. And I think when they bought in Dalton Varsho, I don't think the Jays would say this, but they traded for Dalton Varsho in a perfect world. They hit in the bottom of their order this year and be their everyday center fielder next year, because they're not going to re-sign Kevin Kiermaier. So I keep getting back to this. It seems to me that this was a lineup that's been missing a piece since day one. And if that piece is here and Dalton Varsho is doing something that's a little more, if expectations had been a little more realistic for him at the start of the year, maybe things would be better. I mean, Kevin, I think you're on the same page.
Yeah, they're underperforming. With that. I mean, they expected George Springer to be a 30 and 90 guy. They expected Vladdy to be a 40-plus, 120-plus guy. They expected Matt Chapman to be an 80 RBI guy. They expected Alejandro Kirk to be close to a 300 average guy. Like, are any of those guys that? No. So that is, for me, when you got four guys that you really counted on because you wanted to go out and prevent runs in the outfield because of the way it looked when your season ended last year. I mean, I'm the first one to point the finger. I mean, I thought they should have done more at the trade deadline. Like, it was right in front of you. I understand the teams that you were trying to go and get the players were not trading them. But
it's up to you to make them trade
them. There you
go.
You figure it out. You do more than what you did, which is nothing. Like, that for me is what they didn't do. So you can point the finger there, but – I mean, for me right now, it's the players. Like, I get what everybody's saying, and they need that, and they need the cleanup hitter, and they traded this. And if the four guys I just mentioned is exactly what they were counting on, did those numbers, they would be, I would think, a little bit better off than they are today. But we still have to remember, after they're 15th in baseball in runs scored, they're in a playoff spot.
Ron in Toronto, take us home. Take us home, Ron.
Boys, these guys have got less hits than the Yankees have run so far this series. I go back to the Kansas City series a few weeks ago when they couldn't hit, and thank God that pitcher couldn't throw all of a sudden. I was hoping something like that would happen again tonight. This team can't hit the ball for contact, and it's frustrating. Like, 1 through 9, they can't put the bat on the ball. You're sitting with bases loaded yesterday, Vladdy up there, and he's watching 3 pitches go by. Come playoff time, yeah, pitching wins. I get it, guys, but you still got to hit the ball. The difference between this team and 2015 is one thing, guys. The 2015, you knew at any point in time the boys, Joey Bats or Eddie, was going to smash one. And that game was going to change, whether it's tied up or we got the lead or whatever it may be. And we have no hope of that here now. And we have no hope of getting guys on base, creating runs by stealing them, bunting them over, whatever the case is. So even if they make the playoffs, mark my word, guys, they're out round one. They've got zero hope. I don't care if Gossman throws 8 innings, 9 innings, a shutout ball. This team ain't scoring a run. Have a great night, guys.
Thanks, Ron. And with that optimistic note... I mean, what can you say? Ron,
they get lots of traffic. They struck out 5 times tonight. Striking out's not their issue. It's the quality of the at-bat with a dude standing at second. That's everybody talks about passing the baton. They don't. Like, that's the quality of the stuff. And when you don't have length in your lineup, looks that way. They get a bunch of people on base. Like, they didn't punch out tonight. Only five times.
Yep. I mean, there wasn't a – they didn't get a bunch of people on base tonight, but you're right. They
normally they do. That's not the issue. It's – they get enough traffic. It's just when they get the traffic, they leave the traffic there.
And you'd think a team in Toronto would know how to handle traffic.
Boy.
Hey, you'd think of all the cities in the world.
You've been waiting
all
year to say that.
I have been waiting all year to say this. I was going to try to work in maybe that there's something going on with construction or there's road work that's preventing them from achieving – from reaching their ultimate goal, but that would be
– Hey, they're still in a playoff spot.
They're still in a
– Hang that on.
Oh, damn it. They're still in the playoff spot.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And until – you know what they say? As long as you're in a playoff spot, you're not out of the playoffs.
There's that education at work.
It is. University of Manitoba Education. 6-0. The New York Yankees have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. Congratulations to Garrett Cole on winning the Cy Young Award. Hopefully he'll think of the Blue Jays when he goes up to receive it, because God knows they've had a big, big, big stake in him winning it. We'll get to do this again tomorrow. Blair and Barker from 5 to 7 Eastern on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet. Blue Jays talk following a game tomorrow night. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. While the team makes a push for the postseason, make sure you are prepping your ride for cold weather with Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. Book your appointment today at crown.com or visit the location nearest you.